Dr. Melissa Bartik, who is an internist and has been the chair of the Massachusetts Breastfeeding Coalition since 2002. She is also one of the authors of APHA's 2007 Breastfeeding Position Statement, along with Dr. Miriam Lebach and Lissa Ong. She received her master's in 1998 and her MD in 1990. She is the mother of two breastfed sons, ages 7 and 9.
Thank you. By the way, I'm giving a talk on formula marketing tomorrow on a panel at 10:30. I'll tell you the room if you catch me later. Oh, can you hear me? Okay. All right. I want to acknowledge the other two main co-authors, Miriam and Lissa, who cannot be here because she just had a baby. But a lot of work went into this statement. So these are what I'm going to do is review for you what APHA has said, and a lot of you have contributed to this policy statement, so that you'll sort of have an idea of what's in there so that you can use it to help advocate. And I have nothing to disclose. Okay, so some background. The last comprehensive policy was in 1982. 1981, there was a policy statement supporting the Nestle boycott, and then in 2001, there was a policy statement supporting the HHS Blueprint for Breastfeeding, which was a very important and pretty comprehensive document, which, among other things, recognized the disparities in breastfeeding in the United States. So in our statement, I'm just going to go over what's in it. So we talk about the risks in industrialized countries as well as the risks worldwide. We talk about the global burden of disease and cite this Bellagio study group that Miriam had mentioned. With 1.3 million child deaths per year worldwide could be prevented with 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding and continued breastfeeding for the first year of life. We also mentioned that shorter duration of breastfeeding is linked to increased risk of pediatric and adolescent overweight, and the recent, at the time, WHO data showing that non-breastfed subjects had higher mean blood pressure and cholesterol, higher prevalence of obesity and type 2 diabetes. We cite the ARC report, and you guys know all this stuff, but this is what's in the statement. And we talk about the maternal risks, increased type 2 diabetes, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, and child spacing. Just to digress for a second, I was eating lunch outside today and sat down at a table with three people I didn't know, and one of them had just finished a preventive medicine residency, and I said that I'm an internist, and I mentioned that I was interested in breastfeeding, and the people at the table were like, well, what does that have to do with internal medicine? And I said, well, you know, you got the breast cancer and diabetes and ovarian cancer, and then in the kids, the type 1 diabetes and celiac disease and Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, oh, wow, I didn't know that. That is so interesting. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, this is a sticker and poster from our coalition, but it's just to emphasize that this is what this statement is all about, that public health begins with breastfeeding. We mentioned barriers to breastfeeding in the statement, and including aggressive formula marketing, inadequate provider training, lack of worksite protection, sexualization of the human breast, inappropriate scientific literature, meaning you know, breastfeeding is defined in various ways in the literature. It can mean anywhere from a sip of breast milk to exclusive breastfeeding, and many authors historically did not distinguish what that meant. And you've probably all seen studies showing, oh, there was no difference between formula feeding and 3 months of breastfeeding, whatever that is, in some outcome or other, which, you know, is ridiculous because that's not even anywhere close to the recommendation. Lack of maternity leave and lack of evidence-based hospital practices. So under 3% of maternity units in the U.S. are baby-friendly, and only 25% worldwide are baby-friendly, at least at the time we wrote this. So I'm going to go through some of these barriers one by one. Hospitals are giving out the discharge bags and accept pre-formula. In the statement, we talk about the CDC, I'm blanking on the title. Larry? That's the one, yes. I'm sorry, it's been a long day already, I'm sorry. That one. noting how the discharge packs disproportionately affect some women. Here's an example of what some of this stuff looks like. The bags used to be all cutesy like this, and now they're unisex or black and fancy. And now there's a breastfeeding support kit that comes with Enfamil. So lack of legislation and policies is recognized. These are countries with paid maternity leave. So the brown countries have no paid maternity leave. So that's not very many countries, like three. And the better leave is the other darker colors. So there is no legislation in the U.S. to guarantee it. Canada and European Union countries have paid maternity leave, and even many of the developing countries have paid maternity leave. So we're really behind here in the U.S. Lack of worksite support. This is, by the way, not pumping here, this picture. This is a lady breastfeeding at work, and there is a growing movement toward that run by Carla Moquin in Massachusetts, and it's called the Parenting in the Workplace Institute, or babiesatwork.com, find me if you're interested in that. It's very, very interesting. So this is a map that I don't know the date on, but these are the states that do not have nursing in public laws. Now, 47 or 48 states have breastfeeding laws, but it doesn't necessarily mean all of them are nursing and public laws. Lack of access to skilled care and disparities that exist across racial and ethnic groups in the United States. So this is from the CDC data, percent of babies born in 2004 who are breastfeeding at 6 months. Lighter colors are worse. And darker colors are better. That's pretty dramatic. Here's your Hooters for you. There's a Hooters near here. I noticed it. And I see this is Hooters Australia, which is one of the countries without paid maternity leave.
Now people want to call it a Hooter hider.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that. The other issue is language, and that frequently, even well-meaning people who are advocates of breastfeeding emphasize the benefits of breastfeeding, or people often usually who are anti-breastfeeding talk about freedom of feeding choice instead of using risk-based language and emphasis on public health. So instead of talking about the risks of not breastfeeding or the risks of early weaning, they're talking about benefits of breastfeeding, which we know from focus groups does not really mean anything to people. It's like breastfeeding is like a vitamin. It's like something extra. Whereas, you know, we don't talk about the benefits of car seats and the benefits of not smoking. So, and the benefits of seat belts. So we really need to treat this like other public health issues. But I think I'm probably preaching to the choir here. But anyway, that's in the statement. We mentioned global policies in the statement. Including the WHO Global Strategy for Infant and Young Child Feeding and both of the NHNT declarations and the Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative and the European Blueprint, which is also a pretty amazing document if you ever get a chance to look at that. So because the statement talks about implementing some of these strategies, I'm just going to tell people what's in them or remind them. So the global strategy has 9 operational targets and does include these: appropriate access to allow exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months, protection against formula marketing, and calls for enactment of legislation to protect the rights of lactating employees. So there's really a lot of good stuff in here. And NHNT, which Miriam was talking about, the 25th anniversary session included this pretty powerful language, making baby-friendly the minimum standard, implementing the code, and encouraging legislation to facilitate 6 months of exclusive breastfeeding. So in our statement, if we say we call upon people to enact these things from World Health Organization and Innocenti, it includes all this really powerful stuff. We had to have a section on HIV and environmental toxins in this statement. For HIV, this is a very strange picture. When I Googled HIV and breastfeeding, this is what I came up with. And I don't know if you can see this, but this is an extremely malnourished child breastfeeding. And like skin and bones, light hair, temporal wasting, sunken eyes, terrible. Anyway, so we go by the recommendation, which that if you're going to use substitutes, it should be safe, feasible, and affordable, the AFAS rules. And we note that exclusive breastfeeding decreases transmission compared to mixed feeding. For toxins, we had to do quite a lot of work with the environmental health people because they had concerns about toxins found in breast milk. So out of a lot of back and forth with them, we have in there that toxins in breast milk are biomarkers. We note that formula may also be contaminated. And we also learned a lot from the EH people and included very strong language against persistent organic pollutants. These are things like PCBs that once they get in the environment, you can't really, they are there for thousands of years. And so there is this thing called the Stockholm Convention, which many countries have signed. We haven't. That helps control these. This is Canada's cover of how it's implementing the Stockholm Convention. So in conclusion, our recommendations on the statement are this, affirming exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months and the other recommendations, identifying breastfeeding as a leading public health indicator, insist on consistent definition of breastfeeding and breastfeeding patterns in scientific literature, provide adequate funding in the U.S. and globally, advise interrupting breastfeeding only for evidence-based medical reasons and recognize the risks of weaning to both mother and child. Implement the WHO global strategy and its 9 operational targets and implement Innocenti, both Innocentis really, but 2005, and ratify the Stockholm Convention and support legislation and programs that promote breastfeeding. And make the components, we specifically spell out, make the components of baby-friendly requirements for hospital accreditation and include community-based components in disaster planning and outpatient practices. And specifically support of breastfeeding in emergencies and developing countries. See, this baby is not with its mom in Hurricane Katrina. And I don't think the dad has what it really wants. So the conclusions are that the statement emphasizes the gap in goals between where we are and where we want to be, and that breastfeeding is a public health issue, and we have specific calls for action that are urgent. So now the rest is up to you to use this statement and advocate for breastfeeding. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm so impressed.